We have some info on how smaller businesses can sign up for the new federal aid so they can keep going and keep their people on the payroll. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. The coronavirus relief bill signed into law last week sets aside more than $350 billion for loans to small businesses. Now, policymakers want that money into people's hands as soon as possible. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with some details. Nancy, how does a small business get this money?
Well, the federal government is trying to make the process easy and quick. You apply through a bank or credit union, basically any financial institution that's been involved in the Small Business Administration loan process in the past. Generally, businesses with fewer than 500 workers are eligible. You have to present proof of payroll costs, though.
And what's the timeline here, though?
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said over the weekend that he expects the small business loan program to be up and running by this Friday. He says it'll cover half the private workforce in the U.S., and a small business can borrow up to $10 million.
And when do you repay these things?
In some cases, never, David. The details, of course, still have to be worked out, but it looks like they'll be forgiven if a small business owner spends them on things like payroll, utilities, mortgage, or rent. Businesses that rehire workers who were laid off are also eligible. Secretary Mnuchin says if small business owners hire their employees back for 8 weeks, the loan will be forgivable. They may have to work from home, though. The Trump administration just extended its social distancing guidelines, so people in non-essential jobs are not supposed to go into work for at least another month.
All right, Nancy, thank you. There are 150,000 convenience stores in America, many connected to gas stations. But with that social distancing, even if people do stop for gas, will they come into the store where many of the profits are made? Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
When driving around his city, energy economist Ed Herz at the University of Houston noticed several gas stations offering discounts up to 10 cents off per gallon if you pay cash.
There's an encouragement to go in and talk to the clerks, maybe just to drive sales in the convenience store, but it would seem to misplace the social distancing that we're trying to accomplish.
Herz says in the past, gas stations gave cash discounts to pass along savings if credit card fees were avoided. Now, he says it's to bring foot traffic to the store. That is where the real money is made, says Richard Ingrew, at the Rainbow Fuel Stop in Meeker, Oklahoma.
Our deli and our inside sales is what we survive off of. Its gas has never really been it.
But convenience stores are tight quarters, where shoppers are close together. They touch the coffee pots and the donut cases. Ingrew says his store is safe.
We hose this place down just about every 20 to 30 minutes now. We wipe down tables, go out there, wipe down pumps. No more refills. You can't refill your cups.
Some public health advocates have concerns, though. Small stores don't always have cleaning staffs. And to workplace health specialist Nellie Brown at Cornell, the employees they do have can be overworked.
I'm concerned that if people working in a store don't get sufficient breaks, they're not going to get time to wash their hands.
The industry group for convenience stores says it's sharing guidelines on cleaning, distancing, and avoiding shared handles and utensils. But it won't be easy, says epidemiology and public health professor Melissa Laska at the University of Minnesota.
They have to just say, we're not going to sell bakery items, we're not going to sell salad bar items, or we're not going to sell coffee. That can really cut into the bottom line.
For all the challenges, convenience stores do have permission to stay open. The federal government deems their workers essential. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The average retail price of gasoline is down to $2.01 a gallon, according to the Automobile Association now. Crude oil today fell to its lowest in 18 years, with people and businesses using less oil amid the pandemic, plus Saudi Arabia and other producers not cutting production to compensate. Oil is back above $20 a barrel at the moment after dipping briefly below in the last day. This demand shock plus a producer's price war is making it especially hard for domestic businesses. Crude is down 5% now. The stock market has just turned slightly positive. The Dow future is up a scant 19 points. The S&P future up 0.3%. With the rush to stock up or hoard groceries, there's been a big jump in some commodity prices. The wholesale price of eggs has tripled since early March and spiked above $3 a dozen last week, an all-time high. Long beleaguered orange juice is also in shorter supply here and abroad, and the price has soared on futures markets. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
With two college-age kids back home, we can't keep enough eggs in the fridge these days. Consumer psychologist Kit Yarrow says the COVID-19 pandemic is changing eating habits.
The grab-and-go breakfast on the run has been replaced by a family breakfast.
And LA cafe owner Marina Mitchelson is supplying the ingredients. Since shutting down table service, she's been selling groceries out of her pantry.
The things that sell the best are definitely breakfast items. I mean, in the last 10 days, we've sold like 50 dozen eggs.
Which are up 10 cents an egg. Farmers can't raise more chickens or plant more orange trees right away, so supplies are tight, driving wholesale prices up. But food industry analyst Jim Hertel says retailers might not pass it on.
Nobody wants to be seen as a profiteer.
So for the time being, retailers are likely eating the higher costs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We're also covering moves by workers to go on strike or hold sick outs at some supermarkets and online shopping warehouses, with employees worried about not enough social distancing putting them in danger. Marketplace Morning Report podcast if you miss our coverage on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.